The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Cart Subaru Studio, streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome. How was your weekend? Hope it was dandy. Oh, man, we got a lot of news to talk about, including Jay Inslee is now seriously a player in the Democratic presidential primaries. With what happened this weekend, Inslee has become a legit player. Let's get right into the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
Jay Inslee's been languishing. 0%, 1%. He gets more and more national press. And the more he gets, the more of a non-factor he becomes. Because he is an incredibly boring candidate. And he's one of those people, the more people hear from Jay Inslee, it's not the more they hate him. It's the more apathetic they become about him. That's the opposite of love, is apathy. And so Jay Inslee, I thought, was probably going to have to drop out of the race because he can't get above 1% despite getting all of these national TV appearances. Well, guess what? Jay Inslee's going to get above 1% now. Because this weekend, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez threw her considerable whack job socialist following to Jay Inslee. She tweeted out that Inslee is her guy. Now, it's not directly an endorsement, but what she said on Twitter this weekend, Jay Inslee's climate plan is the most serious and comprehensive one to address our crisis in the 2020 field. It meets big marks. It's big enough, it's fast enough, and it's economically stimulating for working people, and it acknowledges injustice with an eye to make communities whole. Now, this is after Jay Inslee released his $9 trillion climate plan a week ago to try to jumpstart his campaign. Now, as I told you at the time, there are about 80 million tax filers in America. I'm sorry, 140 million tax filers in America. About half of them actually pay federal income tax. So about 70 million Americans actually pay federal income tax. Jay Inslee's $9 trillion climate plan would cost those 70 million taxpayers, in other words, the top half of earners in America, top 50%, it would cost them $126,000 per tax filer. And so it is an economically crippling plan. But when you get Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because she has developed a huge social media following. Now, the biggest winner in all of this is not Jay Inslee. It's Donald Trump. Because I truly believe if it's Inslee versus Trump, if there was a way that Inslee could build on this momentum, I believe it would be the first time since we had 50 states that a president would win all 50 states. I think Trump would even beat Inslee here in Washington once he got through with him, once the nation got to see what Inslee was all about. And so is Inslee going to pass Bernie and Biden now? I doubt it. But he's got some life to his campaign. And again, because it so differentiates between our current economy, where people are doing better than they've done in decades, probably since the 80s, and 90s were pretty good too, but certainly in the last two decades, it's the best economy that we've had right now. People's wages have grown. Unemployment's at near record levels for almost every demographic. And you compare and contrast that with Jay Inslee, and when people start seeing the heroin needles, the trash that is, I mean, that's what Inslee's state is all about. Now, that's what we're known for, homelessness, heroin, trash. That's the national image of Washington. And so I'm thrilled. I want Jay Inslee to hang around as long as possible, just from a talk show host perspective. But again, his campaign has some life now with a tweet from AOC that she thinks Inslee is A-OK. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
When Dow Constantine announced that he was going to ban ICE from deporting people through Boeing Field. Now, understand, we've had about 34,000 people deported from Boeing Field in the last 8 years. Some of them rapists, murderers, child molesters. They have been before a judge, and a judge has ruled that they should be deported, these illegals. And what Dow Constantine said was, I don't want the ICE, the federal government, to use Boeing Field. Now, there's a problem with that. Boeing gets a lot of federal money. And secondly, how did Dow Constantine achieve his goal? He told private companies that fuel and service the planes at Boeing Field that he will pull contracts from them. I mean, it was a bit of thuggery right out of the mafia. He will pull contracts from the private companies that service the planes at Boeing Field if they service the federal government planes. I told you when this was announced a couple of weeks ago that there's no way this was legal. And indeed, we have confirmation this morning that it is not. In fact, our friend Dan Springer, that standing journalist who covers the Northwest for Fox News, he got a letter from the federal government that they are going to go after Dow Constantine's Boeing Field order.
The U.S. Department of Transportation has basically threatened to withhold millions of dollars in federal grants unless county officials back down on their policy to basically tell ICE they can no longer use this airport to deport detainees. 34,000 illegal immigrants have been deported through this small King County airport over the last decade. King County Executive Dow Constantine, a Democrat, issued an order threatening to pull the contracts of operators at the airport if they continued fueling and servicing ICE flights.
I mean, think about how thuggish that is and how illegal it is. That with absolutely no regulatory powers over a federal law enforcement agency, Dow Constantine was threatening private companies, you will lose our business if you service these federal ICE flights, to get rid of criminals who are here illegally, who a judge has ruled should be deported from our country. This is how insane the left has gotten it politically here in our region.
All bowed to the pressure, even though it's costing them a lot of future revenue. That also means ICE now has to drive handcuffed detainees all the way to the airport in Yakima, a three-hour drive instead of 40 minutes to Seattle from the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma.
Okay, now let's pause on that. Think how insane that is. So instead of just going, I mean, these guys are handcuffed. They're to be sent out of the country. And so now we're going to, instead of a 40-minute bus drive, it's a three-hour bus drive to Yakima, which is miserable for the handcuffed people. It's dangerous for the transporting law enforcement officials. Plus, have you ever seen the movie The Fugitive? You ever see what happens when a bus full of fugitives or of detainees, handcuffed people, when it gets run off the road for crying out loud?
Local ICE officials issued a statement saying, quote, state and local efforts thwarting ICE operations serve only to create additional security concerns and add significant delays and costs to U.S. taxpayers. The brother of a local deputy killed recently by an illegal immigrant during a traffic stop says these sanctuary policies are making it more dangerous for cops and the public. ICE says it has used the King County Airport to deport human traffickers, rapists, and several murderers.
Think about that. Dow Constantine wants to keep people here, or he wants to make a statement in support of rapists and murderers and child molesters Why? Because they're here illegally. That's why Dow Constein wanted to go to bat for them. Their crimes don't matter to him. All that matters is this politics of identity. And if you're an illegal, then I'm going to make a statement. And I'm going to say that I'm not going to support getting rapists and murderers and child molesters out of our state. It's unimaginable. In fact, they had a soundbite in that Fox News story from a brilliant analyst about this whole thing.
Local radio host Dory Monson blasted Dow Constein.
We're a region that talks about diversity and equity and inclusion all the time, but has no problem discriminating against the federal government for simply enforcing our immigration laws in this country. It really is exemplary of just how crazy this region has gotten.
Was exemplary the right word? I don't know if that's the exact word I wanted to use there, but what the heck. So anyway, that is the craziness that rapists, murderers, child molesters who are in this country illegally, Dow Constein wants to go to bat for them by making them ride a bus 3 hours to Yakima, from which they will be deported. It's insane. But Dow Constein has a lot of problems, as you'll be hearing in the days and weeks to come on The Big Show. Next up in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
I was fascinated by the story that our news partners at Cairo 7 did over the weekend. Deborah Horn did the story. So there's a family that owns property down in Maple Valley, and they discovered bags after bags after bags of trash that had been dumped on their property. So they called the sheriff, and the sheriff said, there's really nothing we can do about it. But then this couple... So they're in a position where they got to remove trash that somebody else dumped on their property, and they open up the bag, and there's mail to another Maple Valley woman's house. And then they go back to the sheriff's deputies, and they said, well, wait, we can tell whose trash this is. And so the sheriff said, okay, yeah, we can get involved. So while Cairo 7 was at the site where this couple was dealing with this trash, the woman who owned the trash originally rolled up while Deborah Horn and her crew at Cairo 7 while they were recording. But first, here's the property owner, Robbie Norman, who explained why he was so frustrated that somebody else dumped a bunch of trash on their property.
It's just more household trash. It's like someone just didn't want to go take the time to go to the dump to get rid of their own stuff. I don't know why someone would want to go dump their trash with their own personal address and everything on it.
And his wife, Courtney, said, yeah, this just isn't right.
People should be held responsible for what they do.
But then they found who the trash belonged to.
Then this morning when me and my husband drove by the house and then figured out who they were, that's when I returned the call and was like, there has to be something that we can do. They should not be allowed to just dump.
Okay, so the woman who had the trash originally, she then rolls up in a canopied pickup truck with some guy and discovered Cairo 7 was there.
Guys, I'm embarrassed. This is embarrassing.
Well, I'm sorry. We didn't come to embarrass you, but the people who live here own this property, and now they have to pay for it to be removed if you don't.
That's why we're here. It's because we're going to get it loaded and get it out of here. I paid somebody to do this.
Okay, so that woman claimed that she paid someone to come to her house and get rid of her trash, and the person she paid just went and dumped it there. Now, is that true? I don't know. Deborah Horn said she got a call after the report aired over the weekend from a woman who said, yeah, I used to work with a guy who would charge people to come pick up their trash, and then instead of taking it to the dump, he would just dump it anywhere he could. So it is possible that this woman paid somebody to do it, this Claudine Looney, whose trash it was. It's possible, or it could be she did it. I don't know. I just don't know the truth of it. But it was a good bit of television to be there when the owner of the trash showed up. And then another crime in the Puget Sound area this weekend is starting to get a lot of national attention.
The Big Lead, top trending.
Q13 News had this story. about a man in Thurston County. A homeless intruder broke into his home. The homeowner tried to do everything to end it as peacefully as possible. He tried to defend himself with a stick, but when that didn't work, the homeowner had to get a gun. Here's Thurston County Lieutenant Rudloff about it.
He didn't leave. He, in fact, started to come through the slider glass door and attacked the homeowner.
So the homeowner had a stick, some piece of wood, and he tried to fend off the burglary suspect. And the intruder, the homeless intruder, just wouldn't stop. And so the homeowner grabbed his gun and shot the homeless intruder once in the chest.
The homeowner knew that he had done the right thing and the only thing he could do to protect himself and his wife.
And the neighbor to the homeowner, Ernie Brown, is just happy that his neighbor was able to successfully defend himself.
My neighbor's fine. And I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that's what happens when the homeless derelicts, probably a drug addict, breaks into your property.
There's signs up there telling them they're not supposed to do that.
And did not kill the intruder, but a gunshot in the chest. He's in serious condition, last I heard. And it's another case of where somebody, good guy with a gun, was able to successfully defend his property. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news, and then our friend Brock Heward. We got a lot of stuff to talk with Brock about. That's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.
Monday Monson quarterback.
Blue in it. Check, 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 check. Brown 24 Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. With the 12s, hear the Hawks.
Play fake to Benny Russell. Lets it go. Down the far sideline. Reaching up. Making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Here's Dory Monson.
Well, it's Monday afternoon, and that means it's time for our weekly visit with the Monday Monson quarterback. Brock Heward joins us. How was your weekend, sir?
You know what? I had a great weekend, Dory. I headed over to Eastern Washington Friday night, got a chance to share with about 1,000 men and probably about 50 to 75 high school-aged boys at a big retreat over there, which was just spectacular. And there were many Dory Monson listeners.
Nice.
Yes, I think I even shared a Dory Monson story within about my 45-minute little talk with those fellas. And then had another church retreat Saturday night and Sunday morning. So I am just filled up, brother. I'm ready to roll.
Wait a second. What do you mean you shared a story?
I just shared a Dory Monson story.
What story?
Oh, I don't even remember which one. I mean, there's so many of those.
So you didn't. You're just saying.
Oh, no,
that.
I did. No, your name came up in the 45 minutes. Nothing but positive. And just the joy that we have had over the last few years, similar to what you shared on your radio, two Fridays ago?
A couple weeks ago.
Where you just said, man, when you have an opportunity, and these are men, you know, just many times as men, we all live in our isolated little world. I told them as I was driving over and looking at the Horse Heaven Hills, I was imagining the Marlboro man out there. Oh, the Marlboro man that doesn't need anybody else, that just smokes his cigarettes, and tough guys don't need anybody else. And how just much of a falsehood that is, that we really do need one another and have, I think, from the very, very beginning. So that's how your name came up.
And more than ever, we have a society that is designed to do the exact opposite, to have people sit behind their computers, to be on their phones, to not have as much human interaction.
No question. There's no fellowship. There's none of that interaction that is so valuable. You know, and so it was beautiful. We had a really nice weekend. And then it ended, unfortunately, last night with a very difficult dream that needs to probably start this segment before we get to the Seahawks and the Mariners. Had a very difficult dream last night. My daughters and Molly came home late. They were down in Arizona, some basketball. So they...
Yeah, congratulations, by the way. I saw your tweet.
So I was kind of startled when they came home, you know, kind of up midnight, whatever, go back to sleep. And then I had the most vivid dream about our fishing trip. That's going to happen in, what, 9 days?
Yes.
A week from Wednesday. You're flying down there. We're going to be fishing
up there,
excuse me.
Yeah.
You're going to be fishing on Thursday and Friday that week. And I had the most vivid dream, Dory, that Thursday, like your daughters anticipated, was a very rough day for you. And that Friday morning you woke up and you said, you guys go get it. I'm gonna stick around. I'm gonna do my show from here. You guys, you just go get it. It was so vivid.
It was so funny. That's planted in your subconscious.
Yes, it is. And you said, like, this sweet look on your face, like you're on your pillow. You're like, I just sank in. You guys just go get it. Just go enjoy the day. I'm gonna do my show. I'll meet up with you
that
when you come back.
Actually could happen. That's really funny.
So wait, what was so rough
about the first day?
It was just, thankfully, I don't remember that. That wasn't as vivid as it was the Friday. You're just saying real words of encouragement. You all go, I'm gonna do my show from the,
exactly what I would say to you guys. Go get it.
Yes.
I got to do my show.
Yes,
that's exactly what I'd say.
There you go.
That's really funny.
So we'll see whether or not 9 or 10 days that comes to fruition.
No. No, I'm all in.
Okay.
I'm all in, Brock. Stop worrying about it. Okay. Boy, how about the Mariners this weekend?
What a nice tweet you sent out.
I was trying to look for something positive.
By the way, I don't know if you saw this story or not. I didn't even mention this to you. Usually you and I chat for a few minutes before we come on. And I said, hey, I got a good dream story about you. Did you happen to see what happened with the CEO of Vulcan and the Oregonian?
I did not.
Yes. So over the weekend, the Oregonian, the big paper in town down there, just curated a bunch of national headlines. And one of those, you know, they got the Splash Brothers, right, that are the Golden State Warrior shooters.
Right.
Well, one of the other headlines was really negative about, you know, just how the Blazers failed. And you know, we're troubled and it's just a mess. So they curated a bunch of these headlines and put it out there. And the CEO of Vulcan said, under my watch, we will not spend another penny with them.
Really? With the Oregonian?
Correct.
Ooh.
Correct. And it was just
like,
one...
like newspapers can afford to lose major advertisers.
That's right. That's right. Now, I'm sure there will be more details that come out. We will see if that was just kind of a rash emotional, like I'm going to protect my own. Like, I can't believe our local paper would bury our guys, because it felt like it was more of a, in fact, that was Skip Bayless's take, just ripping the Trailblazers, mm-hmm. right? So they just took a lot of the national audience and put it kind of in some headlines. It wasn't that even necessarily their own columnist or what have you. But yeah, a kind of a day and age we live in.
Wow.
And one of... I think a reaction on both sides that is certainly worth watching in the days ahead.
I will say, I watched that game three. If I was the coach of the Trailblazers, I would have been despondent over my players' effort.
Yes.
They just weren't getting up and down the court. But anyway, that's another matter. Yes, you mentioned my tweet.
Yes.
Yeah, so Saturday night, I'm trying to be positive.
No, like the Oregonian, the Oregonian took a shot or other people's shots. Here, you take a veiled shot at the Mariners.
No, it was a positive,
Dory,
Brock.
It was a veiled shot at the Mariners, and you know it.
No. I can't believe, after all the nice things you said at the beginning of this,
yes.
that you're trying to divide us like this.
What did you say? Souvenirs?
I said it was 10-0 in the fourth inning. And I said it's real. And I saw a highlight and looked like there was a pretty decent crowd.
There was.
And I said it was really nice of the Mariners pitchers to provide so many souvenir baseballs to the fans in the outfield bleachers.
Right.
I thought that was a really positive spin on
sure, things. On their way to 18 runs that they allowed.
Yeah,
on their way to being outscored 40-15. On their way to having beautiful weekend of baseball, and you just can't even compete.
Yeah.
On a day where you had, well, actually they won yesterday with 30,000 people in the park, so that at least was a positive.
Yeah, no, it was just Friday and Saturday.
Someone salvaged the weekend, but not really.
And then the Seahawks OTAs start tomorrow. And we're doing kind of a cool thing. Dave Wyman's hosting a group of people for a great organization, Fair Start.
Nice.
At OTAs. And then I'm coming right after my show. And we're going to a house right down from the VMAC.
Nice.
And I'm cooking chili for...
Your chili?
Yes. This was a little auction item donation.
Very cool.
So I will get a... I won't be at OTAs because it's during my show. But give me a preview.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, tomorrow is our day. So they open it up kind of once a week here for the next 3 weeks and allow the media to come in and watch. And I think for the first time, Dory, and as long as I can remember, everybody should be there and present. A year ago, Frank Clark didn't participate in these voluntary workouts. The years that preceded that, Michael Bennett and Averill were out kind of doing their own thing. It was voluntary. The years before that, Marshawn took no part in Pete's voluntary practice. I think this will be, and I think it's telling with where this team is. Like, they got a bunch of dudes that are in prove-it time, young guys. This will be one of the youngest, most fierce competitive rosters as far as young guys. Not accomplished. This isn't 2012 or 2013 from a talent standpoint, depth-wise. But from a youthful exuberance and pure competition at the O-line, a wide receiver, a running back in the secondary, a linebacker, the D-line, there really isn't a position group, say, for quarterback, where there is not legitimate youthful competition. And I think we'll get a feel for that beginning tomorrow.
And just an attitude and a spirit that does harken back to 2012 and being on the precipice of climbing the mountain.
I got to make my mark. And then you've got enough in Bobby and in Russell that have been there and done it at the highest of level. There still is that remnant. But a huge chunk of it is a bunch of these young prove-it guys, and it should be pretty competitive.
Well, I just think this plays perfectly into Pete Carroll's skill set, where he built one of the all-time greatest college football dynasties, where he had to refresh every 3 years, essentially. And doing that at the NFL level, I think, is going to work just as well.
Well, and someone else will be in prove-it mode 9 days from now. Try to prove his daughter's wrong. Try to prove my dreams wrong.
Prove your subconscious wrong.
Prove some of your audience wrong, that you're going to be there, that you're going to put those boots on, and you're going to dig into the halibut guts for two days, that you are worthy of the seas of Alaska.
I'm all in.
I know you're all in for the trip, and you booked your airfare, and we got the hotel.
Yeah.
I know that's all in. Mm-hmm. But, Dory, when it gets a little tough, maybe the seas get a little rough, are you going to be all in for Thursday and Friday?
That is when I rise to the occasion.
Can't wait.
Yes. Okay. Nor can I. All right, Brock Huard, you ever hear him every morning, 7 to 10 on 710 ESPN Seattle. Have a dream about me again tonight.
I might. Okay. I'll let you know.
Okay, let's make this a daily feature. What did Brock dream about me? Okay.
It's a Dory Monson show. Dreams on, dreams on, dreams on.
Your thoughts on everything we're talking about today. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. So as we told you at the very beginning of the hour, Jay Inslee's campaign gets a little shock treatment to the heart when he's languishing between 0 and 1%. As Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says that she's endorsing his Green Deal above all other Democratic candidates. And as whack job as she has a huge social media presence. And that gets Inslee on the debate stage almost certainly. I'm guessing with her behind him, he's going to get above 1%. That's great, great news, as I said, for Donald Trump. Elsewhere on the presidential campaign trail, I need to talk about fake news media bias. I heard CBS News just at the top of the hour. They were talking about how Trump is questioning the Alabama abortion law because there's a perception that Republicans have gotten too extreme. I haven't heard any coverage about that, about how extreme Democrats have gotten. That's so vastly out of touch with America, saying that to, and sorry, 30, 35, 39 weeks, that's a baby, and saying to murder those babies is okay, has become the de facto position of every candidate. They think that they have to say that to be a viable contender in the Democratic Party. In fact, Pramila Jayapal this weekend said there is no room in the Democrat Party for any pro-life people. And there are some pro-life Democrats. But that's how far the party has gone. You know, I was talking during Feedback Friday. People were asking, has your show changed? I said, no. It's just that the Democrats have gotten so extreme that there's just more to criticize. I mean, it used to be kind of a somber thing with Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. And now they're lighting up the sky and celebrating. So this weekend, Bernie Sanders, he was asked on Meet the Press, because here's the thing now. if you can kill babies at 30 weeks, or certainly after there's a fetal heartbeat and you can determine the gender, that there's an acknowledgement that some parents may kill their child because it's not a boy or not a girl. And Bernie Sanders was asked about that on Meet the Press. And, I mean, this just shows how insane things have gotten.
Are you at all concerned, though, about this idea that people may try to worry about the sex of a child or essentially look at that?
I mean, that's a concern.
So
that, yeah.
Are those type of
risks? Okay, so Bernie Sanders even acknowledges, yeah, that is a concern. So is that okay? That we're going to start killing babies because they're the wrong gender? And listen to the answer.
Are those type of restrictions on abortion something you're open to?
Well, that's not a, I wouldn't use it a restriction on that. That's an issue that society has got to deal with, and it is of concern.
How would you deal with that in the law?
I don't know how at this particular point I would deal with it, but that is an issue that we really have got to deal with.
But he says no restrictions. Seconds earlier, he said no restrictions, but he doesn't dare say, yeah, maybe we shouldn't allow people to kill babies because they're the wrong gender. He just cannot get himself to say that. And then I heard that Buttigieg recorded his town hall, and he is as wild-eyed crazed on that topic as all of the others. But then this was disappointing. Because he did a town hall on Fox News. Chris Wallace, I've thought, is a pretty good journalist for the most part. But he let Buttigieg go after his colleagues on the network.
You know, a lot of folks in my party were critical of me for even doing this with Fox News.
I've heard that.
and I get where that's coming from, especially when you see what goes on with some of the opinion hosts on this network. I mean, when you got Tucker Carlson saying that immigrants make America dirty, when you've got Laura Ingraham comparing detention centers with children in cages to summer camps, then there is a reason why anybody has to swallow hard and think twice before participating in this media ecosystem. But I also believe that...
Well, I tell you what, and this has been a policy of my show since day one. If any listeners have a gripe with something some other host on this station says, because, you know, one of the beautiful things about Cairo is we have a broad diversity of opinion and ideologies and worldview. But my absolute bedrock standard from day one of this radio show is I would never let somebody come on my show and criticize Dave Ross or, you know, Tom Tang or anybody who has a different ideology. You got a beef with somebody, go on their show and tell them yourself. And I thought for a host, I wonder how his colleagues feel about Chris Wallace today. That he lets somebody attack his on-air professional colleagues. Because I think that's Bush League. I really do. But, I mean, that's what it's taken to try to get traction, is you have to say something in the primaries that'll get you attention. That's why Inslee was languishing until this AOC endorsement today. It's all crazy. But fascinating to watch. And we've got a great Fastest 15 coming up next.